are tuned into WGH Talk Radio. It is a Getaway Friday, September the 19th, 2025, 14 and a half minutes past the hour here. And we're so glad to welcome back to the airwaves here at WGH Talk, I think for the first time since December of 2023, somebody who did a weekly show here on the station, started in 2018, I think, 18 through 23, and so glad to have him back in this time slot on Fridays, 11:15 a.m. to 12 p.m., Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really well. It's good to be back here and talking to everyone. Hey, let us know if you want me to stay on here so I know whether to keep coming back or not.
That's right. So what's new, Pastor Whitaker?
Oh, just, I have a, I guess since I was here last, I have a new great-granddaughter and another one that will be born in 3 weeks. So that's a great thing. We've been doing a lot of neat things. The church is growing so much, and which is Community Christian Fellowship, for those of you that remember. And it's growing, and we've added on facilities, and it's just really been a good time. Everything's great. You know, we all ride that roller coaster of what goes on in our country and our families, and good to be back. It's great to be here, Scott.
Great to see you, and it was always fun. We always had a good time. And, you know, I was thinking that you hadn't been here since 23, but I was also thinking 5 years with the original run, it didn't seem like 5 years. Time flies.
Yeah, it does, and, you know, we're getting older, and every time it flies a little more, I'm looking at it and thinking, oh, wait a minute, let's slow this thing down a little, because I've got a lot of stuff I still want to accomplish.
That's right, we've got stuff to do. So, Pastor, what's on your mind today?
Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you what's on my mind. And we really usually do just, a lot of times we wing this thing, because we just talk about what's on our mind. And I want to talk about civil discourse and how important it is. And I'll give you an example of myself personally. I have a couple guys that are friends of mine on social media, and they're friends. One of them will post stuff that is just over the top right. I don't even know if you call it right. I'm just going to call it over the top anger and bitterness. And another one is over the top left, anger and bitterness. And both of them I have blocked more times than you can imagine. So it's not like I'm approving of either one. And I don't think that we should be. First of all, we have to understand that anger solves nothing. Discourse, civil discourse, is something we all need. Now, I understand that we're all come from different places. And I think we have to realize that, too. It's Americans, a lot of times, expect everyone to think like we do. And maybe that's not just an American thing. But, you know, this country is so different than anywhere else. What other country in the world can you think of, and you won't think of any because there isn't one, that is the melting pot that we are? We have people that come from different ethnic backgrounds, different traditions, different familial things, different religions, different, you know, you go into any major country and you'll see, you know, there might be a couple fringe religions, but then there's one or two main religions, or maybe just one. You come into this country and we've got 10 major religions in this country. And what I'm getting at, I guess, is that we all have a base that we start from. And that base can be made up of a lot of things. It can be made up of how we were raised, what education we had. It can be our faith background, what we believe, what we truly believe. And it can be so many influences that come in. Regional. You know, a lot of times it's regional. And we have to understand that, you know, when I'm talking to Scott Spears has his own base of what he's brought up in, his own starting point, his common denominator, and so do I. So I have to be willing to listen to what you say without anger, without throwing punches. And I think that if we would do that, we would understand each other a lot better, and I think there'd be a lot less anger. I know everyone's talked about the Charlie Kirk thing, and you know one thing about Charlie, and I've listened to him a lot. I probably downloaded more I probably downloaded more since he passed than I did before, and just reel after reel I watched. It was very interesting because obviously he had what he believed in his opinions that were very his opinions and what he believed. But he had discourse with people, and that's why the kids liked him on campus and he was accepted on campus, because he didn't go on and say, this is what I'm going to say, I'm anti-this or I'm anti-that. He'd say, what do you want to talk about? And he'd invite him to the microphone. And he would just field whatever question they had based on what he believed. That's called listening to other people. Now, if you don't agree with them, you're not going to agree with them. And I think that we have to accept that. I think that we have to... look, I am a very firm Bible-believing Christian. That's what I am. That's how I would describe myself. And that's the base where I come from, the majority of the base where I am. And so when what I believe is going to come from what I believe Scripture says about it, that's just who I am and where I am. Now, I hope you can still like me, you know. And, you know, you might be a person. There's nothing wrong with me saying, okay, Scott Spears, you don't believe what I do, but I really believe it's important that you believe what I do, because I believe that that's ultimately the only redemption we have, is for you to believe what the Word of God says. Now, there's nothing wrong with me saying, I'm telling you this because I care about you and I truly do. Not because it's going to benefit me financially. Not because you're going to get more votes the way I vote. Not because you have to believe what I believe. I think with kindness and love, we tell people, hey, this is what I believe in, and I'd love you to believe this too. However, if you don't, I'm not going to hate you. And see, that's part of the problem we have in this country. It's where we've gotten is, it's either believe what I believe, or I'm done with you, or you know, you're this, you're that, you know, you're evil, you're that, you know, that's just simply, we're never going to have any form of unity at all in this country until we accept and realize that.
Well, you know, interesting, there are two points that are stick out to me. Number one, and I had heard of Charlie Kirk. I'd heard the name, but honestly, I had never listened to anything that he had done until about 2 weeks before his death, because there was a story that I can't even remember. I think it had something to do. He had commented on Taylor Swift's engagement, and that made a big hubbub. So I listened to that. I did hear that. It's interesting to me that this man, who obviously gave his opinions and said what he said, as he should be able to, and I think he wanted that for other people as
really
well.
Did.
Right.
Really did.
So the fact that this might not be the case right now, I think that's unfortunate for a lot of people, because that's the whole point. Say what you want to say, as long as you're not threatening somebody or doing something right. Harmful to somebody.
I agree.
That's the way it goes. And the other point is about these algorithms, which you talked about there. You know, you and I had a conversation a long time ago. I said, you know, when one station or one group is all one opinion, that's fine, and they have their audience, but are you grabbing anybody or even making anybody think who's not of that audience, because that's who's listening?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not mixed in with other opinions.
It's kind of interesting, and I guess that'll lead us into, and I wasn't even going to talk about this today, but something interesting, you mentioned I was listening to, they were talking about Jimmy Kimmel yesterday and what happened
yes.
with him. And I'll tell you the truth, I used to love late night. I mean, that was a time when you just flip the channel and you got Jay Leno, or I'm going to go all the way back to Johnny Carson. I'm an old guy. And you got one of those guys, and it was just funny, and it was just mindless. Most of what they did, honestly, was silly and mindless. And that's what late night TV was. And, you know, in the last year or so, I'd flip channels between the three of them, and I would end up getting... A lot of the things that angered me were not political. A lot of them I thought were just disgustingly immoral, and I just didn't want to hear it. I didn't think that it was funny to me. Now, I was interesting. I was listening to a show yesterday, and they were playing some clips from Johnny Carson and Jay Leno. But Johnny Carson made a really good point. He said, nobody knows my politics. And Jay Leno said the same thing. He said, I would get hate mail from Democrats and hate mail from Republicans. They didn't know which one it was. He said, the point of the show was to make people laugh and pick jokes and just have a... And this is a good point I made, too. People throughout the day deal with all this stuff, whether it's political, whether it's whatever's going on in their lives. And what late night used to be was, man, I'm just going to relax and listen to something mindless and funny and chill, a respite time from the rest of the day and the rest of the world. Well, when you all of a sudden turn that into a political whatever it was, because it was constant, it never let up. It literally never let up. Then all you're causing not only is divisiveness, but you're going back to that singular audience again. And, you know, when ABC looks at that and they see, man, these ratings are falling and falling and falling and falling and falling. What's going on? Well, you just lost half the country because you alienated them. And Johnny Carson and Jay Leno were very good at keeping everybody, whether you were Democrat, Republican, Independent, or whatever you were, or no, didn't do anything at all, you loved watching the show because it was good entertainment. And that they've kind of taken away from that. So you're right. I think that we need to find that common ground of peaceful conversation.
Well, and I think the Jimmy Kimmel situation was interesting. And when I was talking about that yesterday, I can put Jimmy Kimmel in the Charlie Kirk category with me. I have never watched a full episode of Jimmy Kimmel. Clips, like everybody else would see. I'm aware of who he is. I would certainly not consider myself a fan. I would not consider myself anything with Jimmy. I've never watched the show. I couldn't tell you what the theme song is of the show. But my only issue with the Jimmy Kimmel situation is a network can cancel you at any time. That's their prerogative. And they can
work for them.
That's right. They can do any, and that is not against free speech. The problem there, this is why this has become a story, is that the FCC came in and the quote, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. Now, when the FCC starts telling you what you can put on, if it's not vulgar, because that's what they're supposed to police, then we've got a problem. Because it of all indications, the suspension, the FCC chairman said that on the 17th, Jimmy Kimmel was suspended on the 17th. So that's the problem. Now, if ABC wanted to cancel him, that was a bad day to do it, the same day the FCC guy said that.
I'm with you. But at the same time, personally, I think his comment is borderline on horrific and vulgar. And it was, it was silly, stupid and hateful. And maybe the FCC shouldn't have stepped in. I think ABC was looking for excuse to do it anyway, and they just jumped on the opportunity.
Could have been.
Because of the FCC. But the truth is, yeah, I mean, what I find interesting about this in that whole thing is, you had, I know when Tucker Carlson was let go. I mean, for crying out loud, Jimmy Kimmel was all over that. He thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And when and Chuck Schumer gave a thing saying, get rid of firing, now these are the same people talking about free speech. I mean, so it shows that there's such a political football out there. And I think that you and I, and people like us need to bring common sense back to people that aren't using it. I mean, I really believe that some of our politicians need to go back to school and learn what it means to be not only an American, but a citizen. When we have politicians fighting like little kids, what do they expect the electorate to do?
Well, that is a big problem. And you know, as I said before, just to put a knot in the Jimmy Kimmel thing, that's certainly not going to break my heart because I wasn't watching him anyway. But what I do worry about, because I have seen this with the FCC, not just in this situation, but in the recent years, it used to be all about vulgarity. I mean, when I first got in radio, that was their whole goal, you know, that you did your meter readings and that you did not say things on the air that were words that should not be said on the air. And there was a clear guideline to that. And then at some point, it started being about your content. If the FCC chair at that point does not like your content, then there's a problem. And what I worry is that if that can happen to Jimmy Kimmel, which I am not saying I agree with what he said, but if it doesn't violate their rule, who's next? Is it somebody who is it a Sean Hannity? We don't like your content. Goodbye. We don't like.
I'm with you. Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. I've heard various comments. Matter of fact, one right before I walked in here, that Charlie Kirk would have probably not been okay with him being canceled.
I think you're right.
And matter of fact, he said anyway, another story. Someone did a hit piece on him before, and he said, let him play it again. I don't care. He said, you know, we have a right to do these things. And so, you know, that's kind of where he came from. But, you know, it's funny how these things work. Like, say somebody's listening to your taping right now. A few minutes ago, you said that I would put Jimmy Kimmel and Charlie Kirk kind of in the same camp. Now, interesting, but you were talking about a situation. If I took those words that you said, and that's all I said, Scott Spears said that Jimmy Kimmel and were in the same camp, can you imagine what people would do?
That's right.
And it's because they would cherry-pick words that you said, and we have so much of that going on when people don't use the full context of a conversation, and they use it to start a fire. And look, everyone, if you talk to most people, they will say that they don't like the attitude or the tone of the country right now. Wouldn't they agree, right or left, they would?
Oh, I think so.
So, if that's true, let's do something about it. Why can't it start with you, and why can't it start with me? Why can't it start with the guy that just delivered your mail, or the teacher in the school, or anyone, everyone? Why can't it start with, you know what, I'm going to start being a little more civil and understand that people believe what they believe for reasons, and I'm going to listen to them. Now, they need to listen to me, too. You know, for instance, I'll give you a prime example of what I'm talking about. We know that Charlie Kirk did not believe in homosexuality. Why? Because he believed what God said, and the Bible's clear on that, and that's what he believed. Now, at the same time, I was watching a taping he did the other day, and a guy came up to the microphone. It was at a campus, and he said, I'm a gay conservative, and I want to know how you feel about that. And Charlie said, well, first of all, he said, I welcome you to the conservative camp, but he said, you know, why did you tell me that you're a gay conservative? He said, you know, why are we talking about what you do in the bedroom? He said, obviously, he said, you know that I believe that it's wrong, and that's not going to be the way it is. But that's something you need to work out. I'm glad that you're a conservative. I welcome you into the conservative camp and let it go at that. And that's not hateful, what he said at all. There's nothing hateful about that.
No, and you know what? I used to think for a long time, when you talk about this discourse in the country, I used to think that it was because this person thinks that way and that person thinks the exact opposite and there's a problem. And that is a problem. But I don't think that's the main problem anymore, because you know what I have seen? I will see these conversations all the time. Now, the two people agree, but the one person is trying to just have a conversation.
Right, right.
And they're saying, you know what? I actually saw this and this happen where there was a middle ground. And the other person is so in their own little world, they say, "What?" They just dismiss it. They go, well, but that person's really not that.
Yeah.
And I think, well, they were trying to give you an olive branch there. They were trying to say, this is an example of two people who don't think the same way coming together. And you couldn't even let that happen.
Well, in the case that I just made, the young man that came to the microphone left very satisfied with the conversation that he had. And that's the way it should be. But let me give you an example. I'm going to pull something up.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead and talk for a second.
Well, I'll tell you, on this subject, and I don't think I have said this morning, but something yesterday happened that made me very heartened in this regard. We were at the Brown Jug yesterday, the Little Brown Jug, doing our coverage, and Mary Ellen Withrow was a part of our coverage. It was nothing political. It was about the horse racing, and she's there, and Mike DeWine goes to the The governor goes to the little brown jug every year to get his picture taken with the stand in the winner's circle. They invite him, and he's there. Mike DeWine is famous. I've been covering the little brown jug for a long time for not doing media there. He's busy. He shows up. He takes the picture, shakes the hand of the winner, and he leaves. Mike DeWine comes into where we are, and we get radioed that he's coming. I was not for sure at all that he was coming. He came in, and how did he greet Mary Ellen, somebody he hadn't seen for a hug? Big hug. And then he said, "It's so good to see you." Then he sat down with her, did a 20-minute broadcast with us, and he said, "Mary Ellen, you've won the Triple Crown, you know, local, state, and national government." And I asked him about this during, I said, "You know, there's so much discourse in this country right now. How do you feel about that, Governor DeWine?" He said, "Hey, Mary Ellen's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. We don't agree on a whole lot politically, but we've known each other for a long time, and we can certainly sit here and have a conversation." And the first thing she said to him, "It's so good to see you. Thank you so much for stopping by."
And that's the way it should be.
And that's the way it should be.
I want to read this. This is a post that I made clear back on the 10th. It was just immediately after Charlie Kirk was killed. And I said, "Charlie Kirk, murdered for being a man of God, a beacon of truth, love, and compassion. He is now in the presence of our loving God. Please pray for his wife and children, an amazing dad and husband that was a victim of pure evil. I, for one, will continue speaking out for the word of God and truth. Please join me and millions of other believers in Christ in doing the same. John 3:16, I posted after that. This was a comment from a guy that I know, and this is what I'm talking about. Now, first of all, I want to say that, you know, the whole thing about Charlie Kirk being a racist is just crazy. I mean, he had so many people in his organization that were black, and I listened to his, it just isn't there. You'd have to cherry pick words like we were just talking about a minute ago. This guy says, "Violence against anyone should be condemned. I question if he is truly a man of God with his outspoken views on people of color and gays. When I listen to speeches, they do not sound like Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Again, violence should never be the answer when disagreements arise." Okay, and my comment back to him was, I was honest. I said, "Obviously you knew nothing of the man. Sit this one out, Kevin." And the reason I put, and that's all I said, because he obviously didn't really know. He had listened to social media and what they say, but he didn't really listen to him, because if he really listened to him, he'd know that wasn't the case. But this is what happens on social media. It feeds that. Now, I can go the other way, too, with a liberal person they're talking about. It just happens to be I am a conservative person. I put that on, and that's a reaction I got from a person that I know that is very, very far left. But, however, we're still very civil, and we're friends. You see what I mean? Mm. So we can talk, but you know, and he had a right to his opinion. But I don't know where he pulled that opinion at, other than something that was obviously posted on social media or something else. But I guess what I'm getting back to, the whole thing is, we need to calmly, look, if I'm a Christian, which I claim to be, I love people. I have to love people, regardless of their background, who they are. I'm not saying I'm made to love people. My heart tells me to love people. Oops, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Kel, I gotta go. She didn't know what I was doing. Sorry about that.
No problem.
That was my daughter. Anyway, so that's where I'm supposed to be from that standpoint. And honestly, when you look at Charlie, he'll tell you the reason that he went to college campuses was, "I love young people, and I want them to see the America that I believe in and grew up in." That was his whole goal. So he was doing that from a heart standpoint, what he wanted to do. That's why he was kind to, you know, there was kindness there. Now, I'll be honest, when he was attacked, sometimes they'd hit the wrong button and he'd fire out, "No, I'm not this," or "No, I'm not that," or "How dare you call me that?" I've heard him say stuff like that. But what I'm saying is that if I care about people, if I'm a Christian, and I'll say this to Christians out there, if you're a Christian, there should be none of this hatred and foul stuff coming from you about anyone. There's nothing wrong with speaking the truth, and we should speak the truth. But we got to care about people. If you don't care about people, they're not going to listen to you anyway.
Well, and I think that's what, you know, we as people have a weird problem that if we give an opinion and we have to, it's very hard for us if we think something is true, there is a big difference between fact and opinion. Absolutely. And if it is something that came out of your mind and you cannot cite it as an absolute fact, then it is up to scrutiny. And the problem is we do not like when we think something is closer to fact than opinion, we don't like when people critique it. And that becomes a problem. And then we go into the back and forth and the argument, and it becomes a thing. And like yesterday, when I was having that Jimmy Kimmel conversation, we had a caller who called in, who obviously listens to the show, who felt that it's time for Jimmy Kimmel to go, and he doesn't like Jimmy Kimmel. That's okay, because, you know, that's your opinion.
That's an opinion.
So
it has nothing to do with the fact.
No, but and then immediately, a caller followed that up with, that guy is completely wrong. So, but that's when you levy your opinion out there, you got to expect for other people to give theirs.
And there's nothing wrong with opinion.
No.
And I expected this guy to give his opinion. I know him well enough, but I came back and told him how I felt.
Right, and that's the way it should be.
In my opinion, you don't know the guy, and so I kindly said, sit this one out, because he comments on everything, whether he knows it, you know. But and when I see him again, we'll talk about it and laugh and shake hands. But what I'm saying is that the hatred level is getting a little crazy. This is really sad. I'm going to have to go back to this again, because a guy sent me this yesterday, and I just literally couldn't believe it. let me put his name in here. This just blew me away. He posted this yesterday. He was at the what county fair was it? he was at the Ashland County, and he was at the Democratic booth at Ashland County. And he posted pictures of these. He was just blown away by it. They were buttons you could buy at the Democratic booth, and one button says "Felon, is he dead yet?" And another one is get that stuff off there. I can't see it. Fascism. And please tell me why. I mean, his point was, hey, you Democrats, get back there and make sure you go back to the values you hold and you don't have people doing this kind of stuff. And I don't care if it was a Republican booth or a Democrat booth. Could you imagine that? Felon, is he dead yet?
I don't even know how you'd be allowed to sell that.
It was. He took pay right at the booth at the fair.
Think? I mean, because if you threaten a federal employee or a federal person, that's a felony.
Well, they had a whole.
Somebody should send them down there. Send the cops down
there. They had a whole big rack of badges, and it just blew him away. He just, I can't believe this. So he took a picture and he sent it to me, and he's a dear friend. I know that he wouldn't be pulling a stunt, but no, he was there.
Yeah,
and he said, "Man, I can't believe this. I just can't believe this."
I don't know how, because I said that is the line that you can't cross. You know.
But my point is that kind of stuff needs to go.
Well, I think everybody agree with that.
I don't care where who's putting it out there. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, you don't advocate someone's death, and it's just like
no.
It's just like, you know, you were talking about DeWine and Mary Ellen. You know, Mary Ellen, there's no question where she's at. You know, where her allegiance and alliance stand. And I've heard her, you know, she can be pretty opinionated about, you know, the people that she doesn't care for. And that's okay, it's opinion, right? But I've never heard Mary Ellen say she wanted somebody dead.
No, and I don't think anybody would. And this is just, you know, we're catching up here, first show back. But, you know, one thing she did, and I'll give her tremendous credit for this, after, and, you know, this is one of those things people try to write off, but it is fact. As you just said, there's no doubt where she is. She wouldn't deny where she is, and she does give her opinion. But I had her booked before the first Trump-Biden debate happened last June. Had her booked for the next morning to give her opinion on it.
She was fired up, wasn't she?
Well, here's what happened. This is fascinating. Had her booked. The debate happened. Obviously, Joe Biden does a bad job in that debate. And I driving home that night, because we did coverage on the station, home that night, I thought, is Mary Ellen going to cancel? Because clearly, the guy that she supported in that debate did horrible. The guy she knows, she worked with him when he was there. He was a senator when he was there.
Absolutely.
I mean, pictures together.
Right.
And I'm thinking, that's not going to be a good morning for her to come in. Is she going to come in angry? What's the thing going to be? And I never got a cancellation. I came in that morning, 8:15, she showed up, and we turned on the mic. We didn't talk about that at all till we turned on the microphones. And I said, Mary Ellen, what'd you think of the debate last night? And she said, you know what, Scott? She said, had it been anybody else, I would not be here this morning because I was thinking of every reason I could come up with to cancel this show. But the truth is he left his brain at home last night and he should get out of the election. One of the first people to say it. Now, that is not what you would ever think Mary Ellen Withrow would say 12 hours after that debate ended.
But she gave her honest opinion of what she saw and thought.
Right, but her opinion in that was against everything she wanted to say.
Oh, absolutely.
But she said what she believed. And the problem is, a lot of times right now, I think even when people can see the flaw, they don't say it because it's against what they believe.
Yeah, and we got to stop that. You know, there are things, and I won't get into it, what it is or not, for another show maybe. There's things about our president that drive me crazy sometimes. You know, and I will not deny him for 1 minute in a conversation with somebody. And there's things about a lot of people that I just, man, that just rubs me the wrong way. Even some pastors I know. and you know, but the fact is, look, here's the thing. We're all people, and there's things about every one of us that are going to be difficult. You know, when I look at our president, you know, he grew up in New York. Tough guy. He's a deal maker. Somewhere along the line, he picked up the kind of a smart mouth about the way he did stuff, and I don't care for that. I don't like it at all. I don't like it when he calls people stupid and dumb, and I mean, it's just, to me, he doesn't need to do that. That seems to be something he's not going to let go. We've seen him for how many years now, and I remember before he was running for president when he was in the, had that show, The Apprentice. I despise that show. I thought he was the most arrogant person in the world on that show, and I just couldn't. So I guess what I'm saying is that we all have to realize that we can't just blindly wave a flag with everyone that we see that's in our camp. Or they'll never be corrected.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is as far as national politics, I mean, you have to delve in it every so often when something like the Charlie Kirk situation happens or things like that. But what is fascinating to me, covering local politics for a long time, is that is trickling down locally. And the name-calling is happening on a local level.
Nice.
And the fights are happening on a local level.
Shouldn't.
And the party, you know, it's more what party you belong to, not what you believe. And that I never have seen that in local politics.
Well, here's the thing, Scott. When the national politics give you a green light to do it because of their behavior, it is going to trickle down. Now, something interesting, you know, I said a minute ago that if we admit where people are wrong in those areas, like I was just talking about the president and some of his rhetoric, they're never going to work on it or even attempt to fix it if people don't point it out. And just like you were saying about the FCC, or right?
Yeah.
FCC, a few minutes ago, about how it used to be about vulgarity and now it's changed over. Well, there has been enough people step up and say, wait a minute, what are they doing? And should they have... It may cause them to come back into the table and say, maybe we better look at where we're at, what we're really doing, and go back to what we should be doing, exactly what we should be doing. And maybe that's the case. But if people never spoke up and just let them roll, I mean, to what extent does it go next? And it's like that with anything. If people don't step, we all have a responsibility to keep our political parties in line with who they say they are, in line with certain boundaries, without going out of those boundaries and you know, getting all excited about it.
Well, before we move away from the FCC here for 1 second, I'll tell you, it wasn't, I mean, as I said, that story to me, not a Jimmy Kimmel fan, the FCC getting involved is a problem for me. But the biggest issue there for me was his quote. And I can very rarely remember a quote word for word. But I have to think, when the FCC chairman says, and it's on YouTube. I mean, he says, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And I think, if I did a show and somebody in broadcast power walked into me and says, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, you know, that's a problem.
You do the hard way.
Yeah, we're going to have to go the hard way, because what is that?
Well, you know what that is? And we're suffering from a thing in this country worse than we ever have before, I believe. And it's called individual power in places of authority that aren't really... I'll give you an example. One of the worst things that happened, people always talk about the medical side of COVID or the financial side of COVID. One of the things that really caused a problem, when we had all these lockdowns and everybody, it gave certain individuals power they never had before. I mean, suddenly the health department was the Gestapo.
Oh.
I mean, really, I can give you prime examples of even with me. You know, my sister-in-law died, and my kids came over. It was during the lockdown time, and they stayed in family groups in my front yard, like 15 feet apart, and held up a sign for my wife saying, we're sorry about our aunt and blah, 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 and it just touched my wife dearly. 2 days later, I get a phone call from the Department of Health that we were holding an unapproved event during COVID at our house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And when I explained to it, they were almost embarrassed. But somebody, you know, but my point is, it gave some of these people power they never had before. It gave people in schools, teachers, all these people that were monitoring the face masks and different things in business, it gave them a power they never felt before. And I think that power has gone to a lot of people's heads, and it's even gotten worse everywhere you go. People are, there's no compassion. They just want to have power. And you know that absolute power absolutely corrupts. And obviously, the head of the FCC believes that what? He had absolute power to make a comment like that. You know, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. I mean, doesn't that kind of sounds to me like mafia stuff, yeah. You know?
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that came out of an FCC chairperson's mouth.
See, but that's a power issue. Yeah. Don't you agree?
Well, I do, and I think it is a power issue. Well, like you just said about the COVID times, I mean, there was no law that a health department could ever go on what you do at your house. There's no rule. There was never a rule about what you do at your house. So
well,
even
they
if,
did.
Well, even if they didn't like it. But you know what I also wonder in that situation? Who turned you in?
Yeah, that's what I wonder.
But I mean, that to me is a person who really has got some problems. Because
absolutely.
They're not there.
They're
what do they care? I mean, if they really believe that this is going to lead to some problems, they're not a part of it. You know, what do they care?
Some people are just bitter.
Yeah.
They're just bitter. They really are. And bitter people do bitter things. We have a person in Prospect that will, anybody that's doing a building project, they'll immediately call the state building department, because we don't have a building code in Marion County, unfortunately. So it jumps up to the state.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And they'll immediately call the state and say, hey, so-and-so's doing this and that, this address to you. Why are they doing that?
Right. Right.
Because they're bitter and they want to see someone else hurt.
Well, you know the problem in that is that if you are a public person and somebody accuses you of a crime, now we've seen this locally, we don't need to go into the crimes, but you know, politicians recently around here have been accused of some crimes. Now the police have to investigate that.
Absolutely.
Because an accusation has been made. Now, is it true or is it not? We'll leave that up for the courts to figure out, but they're on the Channel 10 News now. They're on the Channel 4 News. They're on Channel 6 News. They're on the front page of the paper, and rightly so, because the accusation has been made, and you don't know if it's true or not. So what do you do? But you got to go back to the person who made that accusation. Why would they do that if it isn't true? And they have no desire.
You know, and I feel, too, I know there's something different. We're around, what, 5 minutes left?
Doesn't it go by quick?
Huh?
It always goes by quick.
5 minutes.
We're
right?
About 5 minutes, yeah.
One thing they don't do enough of, and I wish they would start in the media, law enforcement, whatever it is, when someone is found to be innocent of charges they've been accused of, and when their name has been all over the paper and they've been smeared everywhere, I think somebody needs to go out of their way to make it clear to the public that this person was wrongly accused, and please don't hold that against them. Several years ago, there was a teacher at one of the local schools that was accused of doing something with girls in a locker room. And that man lost his job. He lost his career. It was really bad. And then it came out that these girls made it up because they were mad at him because of a grade they got on a test. They completely made the whole thing up. I saw or heard nothing anywhere in the media about that whatsoever, clearing that man. And how many people had heard it and to this day think that this guy did this because they never heard anything. And I think that we need to make that effort to clear people's name when it needs cleared.
Oh, absolutely. And that's horrible. It's horrible because, you know, I mean, again, we did the story the day it happened because you have to do those stories and people are aware of it. And I'm not going to rehash it here. But right now in Marion County, we have a local situation where somebody – now, we don't know the results of this investigation yet. But, boy, I'll tell you, when people have been talking about this, this man is almost convicted already.
Yes.
And I don't know how – if he did it, it's awful. But if he didn't, well, how do you fix that? Some people are always going to believe it.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going to come out either, and you know what the outcome of it is.
But, well, the problem is all the accusations, because you know an investigation can't tell you what they're doing until it's over.
Public opinion.
Right, but and everybody's got it. Well, my blah 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 told me he did this. My blah blah told me did. And I think, geez, Louise.
Oh, yeah. Marion Crime Chronicles. You ever?
Oh,
oh my word.
Oh.
You know, don't take anything for fact off there because people throw a lot of. Sling a lot of mud on that thing.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's another prime example of what social media is doing to the anger. And you know, guys, let's just take a step back and have cooler hearts.
Yeah. Well, and the Crime Chronicles, is weird you bring that up because there was a story a few weeks ago on there, and I don't subscribe to it. But there's a story on there about Jack's drive-thru here in Marion that somebody was murdered in the parking lot. Now, this is Crime Chronicles. Now, again, they're not a news site. They don't claim to be, but people believe it is. Murdered in the parking lot. And then it turned into, in the comment section, no, they were shot. No, there was a drug deal. No, there was a blah, blah, blah. Well, this went on for like 4 days. And I was getting asked in public, hey, you haven't reported on that. What happened there at Jack's drive-thru? And I'm thinking, I have got no press release. And if it was a drive-by or a murder, there would be a press release from the police department,
right?
Because they would want to, you know, they'd tell you who the murderer was and that they were captured or not captured or so on and so forth. So eventually 4 days and multiple people asking me why we aren't reporting on this, one phone call to the police chief, and I said, what happened Saturday night at Jack's drive-thru? The person committed suicide. We don't do press releases on suicides.
And that's
all it took to figure out what that was. One phone call. Now, Crime Chronicles can't do that. People turn that into everything, the most salacious thing in the world. It wasn't.
No.
It wasn't.
Sad.
Sad, but not salacious.
Yeah, exactly.
And you wouldn't run out of the front page.
So I wish we weren't out of time but, you know, leaving, I just want to encourage everyone, you know, try to show a little kindness to the person you're talking to. You know, I told everybody in church a few weeks ago in a message, I said, you know, God made us all equal. We're all the same. I said, stop comparing yourself to other people. You know, compare yourself to Jesus. I said, but not to other people. I said, no one's made better than anyone else. And we need to realize that we all are who we are based on where we are, what we believe, where we were brought up. And there's no reason to hate anybody. There just isn't. And we've got to start speaking to people civilly and care about them.
We got about a minute left here. Tell people about Community Christian Fellowship.
Oh, my. We're doing so many great things. We have our Day in the Park coming up on the, I think it's October 3rd, Sunday afternoon. It'll be from 3:30 to 6:00. I think we're going to have chicken and noodles this year. It's all free. We always have bounce houses and music and games. It's just such a good time. And that's actually followed by the Battle Run Fire Department is having their open house. And they're going to be, well, it's not followed. They're from 1 to 5. Or 1 to 4, and they're going to have hot dogs and chili, I believe, and stuff, and a lot of stuff for kids. So, and we're right next to each other. We're in the park, and they're next door. We're Team Kids getting ready to kick off again in October, from 1st and 3rd Tuesday of every month. It's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and that is a time when kids come and play games, have a good time, and we'll have the KP Hall open this year for the kids to do that, and that's just, you know, that's a great time, and just so many neat things going on. The church is certainly growing. We got lots of young families. One thing I love about the church, and I'll say this, that when people come in, and so many people tell us this, that, you know, I just felt like this place, it was warm the minute I walked in. They don't walk into a judgment zone. They don't walk into a bunch of older people wondering who they are. Oh, sorry, people, I'm old too. But no, they feel warm and welcomed, and it's just the way that it is. We believe that we're to love people and care about people. We're not going to fall all over you and make you feel gooey, but we are going to care about you, and we have people from all walks of life in that church, and all different backgrounds, and I just think it's a great place to be.
Good to see you, Pastor Whitaker, and we'll do this every Friday at 11:15 to 12, and we've got programming coming up next, but good to see you.
Good to see you, Scott.
Stay tuned.
And it was a lot more adenoidal than mine, and that was pretty much it. You know, of course, we had the standard